Hi everyone, it's Kesonga. Just a reminder that you can listen to all of our podcasts ad-free on the Headspace app. Headspace
Studios. There's that adage, oh, forgive and forget. And I don't believe in that. You know, I don't actually think that's possible. Like, I don't forget that my father died. You know, I don't forget how I may have felt about certain aspects of my upbringing as it relates to my mom or not having my dad. But for me, forgiveness is stop playing the events of the past to the degree that they impact my ability to live in the present.
From Headspace Studios, this is The Gift of Forgiveness, a podcast filled with inspiring stories from those who've overcome the unforgivable. I'm Katherine Schwarzenegger-Pratt. On this show, we're telling people's stories as truthfully as possible. Sometimes you might feel uncomfortable or anxious. If that happens, I encourage you to pause and take some deep breaths. Today, I'm lucky enough to be talking to my dear friend, Devon Franklin. Devon's a New York Times bestselling author, a film producer, a motivational speaker, a preacher, and a loving husband. He's worked on movies like The Pursuit of Happiness and Heaven is for Real. But I asked Devon to join me today because he's one of the wisest and realest people I know when it comes to talking about pretty much everything, especially forgiveness. Hello?
Oh, there we go. Yep. Are you there?
Okay, good.
Hello, can you hear me?
Thank you so much for taking time today to talk to me yet again.
Oh, no problem. You put up the bad signal, I show up.
I love that. Why don't we start with talking about your forgiveness journey with your father?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm the middle child of three boys. And then my father, throughout the majority of my life, you know, was not there. I mean, he was, you know, and then the times that he was there, the majority of my memories of him are when he was drunk. His father and his mother were alcoholics. Yet I don't think that they, you know, he and his brothers really put a whole lot on that and thinking that it was going to be an issue for them. You know, long story short, drinking socially ended up leading to him becoming an alcoholic, him having a real problem with it. For him, you know, alcohol was absolutely a drug. And so, you know, by the time my youngest brother was born, my father was kind of in and out of the house. You know, we had a house in the suburbs of the Bay Area. And, you know, he basically just, he lost his job. He stopped showing up. We ended up losing the house, having to move into my grandparents' house. So, you know, me and my mother and my brothers would sleep in my mom's bed. My grandparents would sleep in their camper in the driveway. So we would have enough room. Yeah. And there was only one bathroom in the house. So it was a, you know, pretty packed situation. When I was 9 years old, he was 36. We had reconnected with him and he was in Oakland and had got a job and basically had sobered up. And, you know, really wanted to get the family back together. And he had like a heart attack. I believe it was on a Sunday. We went to visit him on Monday and he was in the hospital. But he was, you know, up in the bed and talking to us and saying that he wanted to, you know, get the family back and that he was going to do everything he could to earn our trust. And then the following day, he had another massive heart attack in the hospital. And that was it. And so my mother, you know, we all went, we rushed to the hospital and, you know, she was gone for a very long time when we got there. And then she finally came to get us and she took us to, I didn't know it at the time, but now I realize that it was the morgue at the hospital.
My gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty deep. You know, there he was, you know, on the cold slab, you know, I mean, he was gone. Go, you know, kiss your father goodbye. And, you know, we kissed him goodbye and it was just very like, you know, I didn't know quite what to do. You know, I didn't quite know what to say, how to handle it. It was really, really challenging.
Right. I mean, I would imagine that at 9 years old, having that happen to you with having your father, you know, not only pass away, but also prior to that, talk about cleaning his life up, wanting to get your family back together. And then you as a child, and also I'm sure your mother and the rest of your family having hope of that, of there being maybe a new start there. And then suddenly him passing away at such a young age and so quickly was also really traumatic for you and confusing for you.
Oh yeah. Very confusing. I mean, to say the least, it was like, wait a minute, how in the world? But you know, it's like, I didn't even know quite, I just didn't know, you know, it was very traumatic because I didn't know how to handle it, you know? And so I just kind of suppressed it and held it in and just tried not to focus on how I was feeling. But that certainly was not a healthy way to deal with it. I can tell you that, you know, there was just a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lack of understanding. Like, okay, well, how could this have happened and why? And, you know, it's like when you have a parent and you're depending on them and you're young and they can't because they're, you know, they're sick. I mean, and, you know, alcoholism is an addiction. It's a sickness. It's a disease. And so when a parent has that kind of disease and you're trying to sort life out, it becomes very challenging.
I think there are a lot of people who might be listening to this who really struggle with that anger towards a parent, a relative, a sibling, a loved one, as an addict for not being the person that they had hoped that they would be, for showing up in their life in a certain way. And you had that anger and you mm-hmm. were able to accept the anger, confront the anger, and then eventually release it.
Yes, yes. Especially as a child, you know, we have expectations of what our parent is supposed to be. I mean, who our parents supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. So it's very, very easy as a child to look at your parent through that lens of expectation, which at times can skew the reality that, you know, parents are not immune from their own struggles. And the reality of life is that those personal struggles can absolutely have an impact on their ability to parent. And so for me, you know, that anger was, you know, trying to find my place, not really having that father figure to help me really do that, not understanding at times like, well, you know, well, why couldn't he get it together? And so, you know, it was very easy just, especially when he wasn't there, to make up my own, you know, reasoning. And then also the times that he was there, you know, making us late for school, because he would take the car at night and stay out all night drinking. And we only had one car. And it was just those moments that I kept replaying that were incredibly painful. What I noticed, though, was that the toll it was taking on me, you know, growing up, being kind of angry, having a bit of a temper, not really being, you know, emotional, kind of emotionally withdrawn. And I think that sometimes we don't recognize the price that unforgiveness costs, and the price that we have to pay, you know, and that anger and that being a block for me and my own development. So, you know, what I had to realize was like, okay, you know, I've always just been somebody who's been, you know, just very focused on, okay, how can I be the best version that I can be? Even as a teenager, I realized that, you know, this anger is not helping me. This is not, you know, it's like, I have to accept him for who he was. And I also started asking people in my family more about him. And I will say that everybody would only speak positive things about him. You know, like, he was amazing. And, you know, he loved you guys, and he cared for you guys and wanted the best for you guys. And I mean, that was unanimously he always talked about my three sons, and he was so proud of you all. So hearing that, and then also understanding that, you know, I had to make some changes. If I wanted to be who I wanted to be, I had to make the decision for myself. On some level, I was driving myself crazy because he's not here. So, mm-hmm. you know, for me, as I got older, you know, I had one of two choices. Either I keep carrying the weight and harboring, you know, the unforgiveness and the resentment and whatnot, or I have to make the choice to let it go and accept that maybe he did the best that he could. And the acceptance of him doing the best that he could and letting go of the other, you know, negative emotions of unforgiveness was very freeing for me, because it just allowed me to appreciate my father for who he was, and flaws and all, instead of holding him to a standard that he never met. Mm-hmm. And so letting that go was a very integral part of my own upbringing and allowing me to really transition more into manhood with that appreciation instead of that unforgiveness.
Was there a specific moment where it finally clicked to you, where you felt like, okay, I'm finally releasing this anger. I'm going to forgive my father and I'm just going to accept him for who he is and who he was?
That's a good question. I mean, was there a specific moment? I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, because I'm a middle child, I think all middle children struggle with their place and where, who they are and where they fit and all that. Very hard.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's very hard, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. But Kevin, you're not the middle. You're like, aren't you?
No,
like
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, right? Exactly. So you know, you're the oldest, and you're like, oh, you're the firstborn, and everybody, you know, dotes on you and everything. See, us middle children, we have it harder. And you know, by the time I came around, they were like, oh, well, whatever. And then when the baby was here, I was like, oh, he's so cute. So you know, I just left the pen for myself and sort it out. So I think because of that, you know, that really is what got me into, you know, the motivational stuff and wanting to learn and become better. It was not a moment that I like a specific moment. It was a gradual experience for me of putting it all in perspective, because I think these are things that we wrestle with tremendously. And, you know, and then also it's like when someone has died, and you can't make it right when they were here, harboring those feelings, they can terrorize us. Every time we look back at our past, we don't have much to show for that time we spend. So the best we can do is try to reconcile what came before us and do what we can now with the present in order to have the future that we are desiring. And so for me, it was a gradual experience. You know, just coming to the realization that, you know, I gotta let this go. I gotta let this go. And I've got to just accept, you know. And then also the other thing that it made me do was to say, well, you know, I'm not afraid of alcohol, but I have not had a drink either. Because I just
in your whole
said
life.
Never have. Because I just don't, I'm like, I don't. It's not a fear. It's just a decision. All of this is all related. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to drink. It's not who I am. And I don't want to create a cycle or perpetuate a cycle that has damaged my family now for two generations, potentially with this generation and me and my brothers making different choices, we can break the cycle. And so it was a gradual realization of all of these things that ultimately got me to the place where I made the decision to forgive.
We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, this series is produced by Headspace Studios. Headspace has thousands of hours of meditation, mindfulness, movement, and sleep content. The best tool you have is your mind, so take care of it. Learn more at headspace.com. For Devon, getting to a place where he could forgive his father was all about acceptance. He couldn't change the past, he couldn't change who his father was, or the reality that his dad was gone. Getting to a place of forgiveness was also about having compassion for his father, for the kind of childhood he had when he was younger that contributed to who he was and how he behaved as a father to Devon. When I talked to Devon for my book, I was surprised to learn that he'd also been through a process of forgiving his mother. Growing up, Devon's mother worked several jobs and sacrificed for her family, which also meant she missed parts of Devon's childhood.
It's such an interesting process because, you know, growing up, you know, I mean, I was very active on campus. I was, you know, I also played sports. And, you know, the thing that was, you know, consistent was that my mother was usually not there for those type of things because she was working, and I just didn't feel like she was there at times in the way that I was wanting her to be there. And so there was just a lot of anger, you know, it was just like, well, you know, why aren't you here? And I just didn't feel like she was there at times in the way that I was wanting her to be there, you know. And I remember, you know, there were times when, you know, we would, you know, as a kid, you just, I mean, you know, you don't know anything from anything. Mm-hmm. And you can only see the world through the lens you see it. And then sometimes that lens is colored incorrectly because you don't know the full story. And so I'll never forget, you know, me and my mother, we were arguing about something. And then she said, you know, well, at least I kept you. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but, you know, I came to find out that, you know, my grandmother, when she had my mother, she, you know, I guess she was just kind of just young and not really responsible. And so my mother was raised by my great grandmother, for the first 10, 11 years of her life. And so, you know, when my mother said that, she had always felt that she was a little abandoned. And so for her, she's like, yeah, I may not be able to be there for you in all the ways you want, but I'm here, like you're with me. And so for her, that she was like, don't you get that I love you? Like you're here. And I just remember, you know, having a moment where I just had to come to terms that maybe she did the best that she could. And I have to not like, okay, if dad's not here, I can't then hold mom hostage for things dad didn't do and then take that anger out on her when she was here and get mad at her for what she couldn't do because she was providing, she was working, you know, she was working so hard to make sure we had what we needed. You know, we were three boys and eating her out of house and home and needing money for prom and school rings and all this kind of stuff. And so she had to do what she had to do. And mm-hmm. so as I came into, you know, that, I remember that freshman year being in the dorm at USC. And I just remember saying, you know, I've got to let this go. I've got to accept her. I've got to it was almost like forgiving her was the action, but really it was just letting go of the feelings that I had, those negative feelings, and appreciating that, you know what, she did the best that she could. The job she did was better than most. And let me embrace that instead of still harboring this anger and resentment.
I know you talk a lot about the presence of your aunts in your life. And I think that that's such a huge gift and such a blessing. I love that you have that in your life.
The women in my life really helped cushion that blow so that we could, you know, at least have a strong foundation of support and consistency that, you know, helped us become the men that we are today. You know, listen, we were on welfare and, you know, hand-me-down clothes and all of that. I mean, it was not, it wasn't pretty, but it was okay because the family was there for sure. And that helped a lot.
And would you say that when you were able to do that and make that decision your freshman year of college, that that was really the beginning of your healing journey?
Oh yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
What would you say changed for you in that moment? I mean, I'm sure obviously you were a freshman in college, so there was a lot of change happening, but when you were able to make that decision and really start your healing journey with both your mom and your dad.
It was liberating. It was liberating. It was very, unforgiveness is a weight. It's just a weight. And it really, it affects us in so many ways. And if we are harboring some unforgiveness to our parents, you know, it's like what it does is it's like we're not really living. We're sometimes allowing that anger, resentment, whatever it may be, to drive our decisions and you know, needing to prove something to ourselves or needing to prove something to our parents. And so for me, that experience was very freeing. It was very liberating. Either I'm going to hold on to this and pay the price for it, or I am going to say, you know what? I have to love him for who he was. He brought me into this world. I am in part who I am because of the experience that I had with him. And I have to look at that as a positive, not as a negative. And I have to forgive and I have to let the weight go. And and when I looked at it through that lens, it gave me a greater appreciation for him. It gave me a greater peace to kind of navigate my own manhood and adolescence. It's great. It's freeing because I don't harbor those resentments. I don't harbor that negativity. I don't harbor, you know, that kind of low energy, you know, and it allows me to really embrace and to love, because I think that's one of the biggest obstacles that unforgiveness presents is love. It makes it really hard to love when you have this weight in your spirit. And so that gift of forgiveness, I think, really helps improve our quality of love of ourselves and of others.
Our quality of love. I think this phrase is such a great one. If you've ever worked through betrayal or hurt, learned to forgive and come out the other side, you know exactly what he's talking about.
Would you say that your forgiveness journey was a one and done decision or an ongoing process?
With my mother, I felt like it was more kind of one and done. Like, I feel like once I kind of came to that revelation, I knew that that was it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, good. Like, I felt like that was the process. I didn't feel like there was much that I had to, you know, continuously, forgive her for once I came to that revelation that, oh, wow, she did the best she could.
Yeah. I think I always think that it's interesting, you know, how, and we have talked about this, you and I, a lot, people can forgive in an instant and never think about it again. And then there are people who, you know, it's an ongoing process, because for a lot of people, they can make a decision to forgive, but there are still moments in life where we can call them trigger moments, where you then are reminded of your hurt or your, you know, anger or betrayal or pain that you experienced. And it feels like you're taking steps backwards. It's just about bringing yourself back to a place of forgiveness mm-hmm. when you have those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. You can be triggered for sure. But I think that, you know, if those triggers happen, it's really important to not go back down that rabbit hole, because you know where that rabbit hole leads. It's an unproductive place. And truth be told, you know, that unforgiveness only affects you.
Was there any self-forgiveness that you had to experience or that you went through as a young man to get to a place where you were fully able to release all of that anger and that unforgiveness?
I wouldn't categorize it or frame it as self-forgiveness. You know, I would just say maybe self-acceptance, really getting to the place where I was like, okay, you know, I'm okay being who I am, because, you know, it's like losing, you know, that a parent, even in how I felt about my mother or my father at a certain period of time, I didn't feel like I needed to forgive myself for those feelings. I think they just were. But what I did was start to accept myself more and start to accept that all these things that have happened to me have actually happened for me.
Yeah. I think that when people are able to get to that point of acceptance and understanding about life in general, of just this mentality that you just said, which is these things in life are happening for you instead of to you, is such a big moment and a big shift to make in your life. And I talk about that with, you know, with forgiveness. And it's these moments in our lives where we make these shifts that might sound really simple and easy, but they're actually so groundbreaking.
It's a tremendous gift, tremendous, tremendous gift. And, but it's hard, you know, it's a really hard thing. And I understand why so many people struggle with it. I think so often when we think of forgiveness, it's like letting that person off the hook. I don't look at it that way. Someone can still be at fault for whatever they did to you, but you can still choose to forgive them because you want to let yourself off the hook. You know, there's that adage, oh, forgive and forget. And I don't believe in that. You know, I don't actually think that's possible. Like, I don't forget that my father died. You know, I don't forget how I may have felt about certain aspects of my upbringing as it relates to my mom or not having my dad. But for me, forgiveness is stop playing the events of the past to the degree that they impact my ability to live in the present. So it is a gift, very hard to give, but incredibly rewarding when we do.
How do you think that your life would have been different had you not released this anger and resentment towards your father and your mother and allowed yourself to live in a place of forgiveness?
Oh man, I mean, my life would have been, would be completely different. I would be probably angry. I'd be, you know, resentful. I would be, you know, I would probably be more of a toxic individual. I think that I would be completely different. Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what life would be like and how I would be, because every day I have this weight and this just frustration and this anger and this, like, you know, kind of attitude of like, oh, you know, life would be so much better if, you know, if this hadn't happened and if they hadn't done that. I think I'd have much more of a victim mentality than just saying, okay, it happened, so let me accept and move on. And I think that had I not done that, my life would be completely different. You know, giving unforgiveness to ourselves has, you know, radical positive results in every other area of our life and how we're able to love, receive love, and deal with others, you know. And I certainly know that it has helped me, you know, obviously in my marriage and just becoming a better, you know, more, I would say, loving individual, you know, and trying to give that love to as many people as I can.
I love Devon's ability to be open about his journey to get to where he is today. Forgiveness is challenging and frustrating, especially when you have to wrap your head around the fact that there is no quick way to get to a place of forgiveness. You just have to make the choice to start. Is there any advice that you would have to somebody who is carrying around that anger and resentment from childhood or from experiencing some sort of trauma as a child, whether it's an addict or losing a parent, and they want to release that, but they just don't know how?
I would say, okay, I don't understand. You don't know how. I'd be like, you just let it go. You know what I mean? That's how you do it. Oh, man. You know, I think don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. The first step is to say, I forgive, and then fill in the blank. That's how you do it. You don't even need to say it to the person. You can just say it so that you release it and you vocalize what you're releasing. That's it. I forgive, fill in the blanks. That's all you got to do. You get to fill in the void.
Exactly.
It's like, who are you without that part of your story? I think the beauty of life, let's find out. Let's find out. Because maybe you're going to discover something even more powerful about yourself when you don't allow the negative aspects of your story to be the things you need to have a story.
What Devon's talking about here is not letting the worst things that have happened to us define the story we tell ourselves about our lives. By holding on to resentment, we're preventing ourselves from moving forward and inadvertently centering negativity as an important plot point in our own personal story. We keep going back to it, we bring it up with friends, we think about it all the time, and that holds us back. It limits the story we could be telling about our lives and our future. Before we wrap, the last question is, if your father were here today, would there be anything specific you would say to him about forgiveness?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if I would, just because I probably wouldn't want to hurt his feelings, you know? Like, I'm sure he already feels bad. He would feel bad enough knowing just my memories of him and what people have told me about him. You know, I don't know that I would ever say, you know, I forgive you, unless he asked, say, hey, you know, would you please forgive me for what I've done? Then, of course, I would say yes, because I would feel comfortable. But I don't know that I would verbalize that forgiveness just unprompted, to be quite honest with you. You know, I think that I would have that unforgiveness. I would, and then I would just say, you know, what were your hopes for me? You know, what did you think I would become? Where did you think I would end up in life? And so it would be more about that. It would be more about the positive and more about the curiosity and less about, you know, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that?
Yes, I love that. Amen. I mean, I'm so grateful for you coming on this podcast and talking about your personal experiences and then just being so amazing with spreading awareness about forgiveness and inspiring other people who are listening right now and also just able to read your story and learn more about you to just see how much forgiveness has impacted your life and be inspired to welcome it into their lives. So thank you so much for taking time today to talk to me yet again about forgiveness and share anything your story you with so many people. Oh, thank you. Oh,
it's my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm excited about this. And, you know, I didn't even know Headspace does podcasts. This is all cool. This is great. Congratulations.
I know. You learn something new every day. Thank you, Devon.
After talking with Devon, I'm feeling so energized and inspired to practice forgiveness. And I hope you are too. That's what the show is all about. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you to Devon Franklin for sharing your forgiveness journey. The Headspace app has thousands of hours of mindfulness content for you, including meditations on forgiveness, grief, noting, and more. Download it today and try it for free. The Gift of Forgiveness is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. You can find my book, also called The Gift of Forgiveness, wherever books are sold. This show is produced by Monique Laborde. Sound design by Dan Kroll. From Headspace Studios, the executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway. This podcast is produced in partnership with Cadence 13.